And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's been a rainy day here, rainy week. It's got a few more days of rain in the forecast, but actually got a little sunshine peeking out behind the clouds and water standing in the driveway, and the grass, you can tell, is just soaking up the water, and praise the Lord for that. And we are thankful to our Heavenly Father for that very thing, for that rain, for that water that comes, and just love it. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open tonight. We are live coming to you this August 10th, 2017, and we'll open up the phone lines here in a little bit, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call. I got a couple current events I thought we'd touch base on tonight, and of course, the Bible reading plan, is jumping off the page tonight, and was today when I was reading it. I hope it is for you as well, and thought we'd read a little bit from the Scripture, and again, we'll take some calls. Got a lot going on this time of the year. Here we are wrapping up summer. Plenty going on, but let's go to our Heavenly Father first, shall we? Well, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day of life that you give each and every one of us, Lord, and thank you that, well, Father, you found us worthy to be here in this time, in this place that you've put each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen us and allow us to, as it said, to bloom where we're planted, Lord. You have each and every one of us in the place you want us to be, Lord, to share your gospel, to comfort your people with your word and your truth. And we thank you for that. Help us to do that very thing, O Lord. Help us to encourage others to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, but Father, coming together, gathering in your name. And we do that this very evening, Lord, as we gather all around the country. We thank you, Father. Thank you for this rain. Thank you for this opportunity to put your truths out across the airwaves, Lord, to have fellowship of sorts with you and with your remnant. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the remnant that take time out of their day, out of their week, to stop. And, Lord, those that read their word during the day and that start their day off with prayers. And, Father, those that tune in to these broadcasts, we thank you for them. We thank you for those that support us, Lord, that your prosperity and your blessings would be poured out upon them as well. Father, be with me tonight. Give me the words to say, the thoughts to think, Lord, this very hour. And again, in speaking tonight and hopefully encouraging your remnant, as we said before, to love and good deeds, Father. Opening our eyes to the truth, Lord, of your word and also the truth of the events of the day. And I pray all this, Lord, to the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. And that is his name, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And amen. And, got a phone call today and some yahooey-fooey. Oh, yeah, yahooey-fooey. I mean Jesus. Well, you know, if Joe calls on the phone line and I say, well, hey, Bill, how you doing? I mean Joe. Well, Bill's not his name. Joe's his name, if that's who's calling on the phone. And Jesus is the Son of God's name. We speak in the English language. And it really is as simple as that. If you have any doubts or you have any misunderstandings about that, we do have several writings. Not going to go into it tonight. Don't have time to beat that dead horse. But if you have any questions or concerns, or we had a brother here about a month or two ago called and said, well, what does it matter? What does it matter? See, there's new people coming on the ministry at all times, almost daily. There are new people that are hearing the truths that your support allows us to get out, the timeless truths that our pastor preached, as well as these newer broadcasts that we're able to put out. And so people are just coming into the Anglo-Israel message. They're coming into the truths of the gospel of just what the word actually says and who we are as a people, and other truths as well. And, well, we were able to send that brother some information, some paperwork, some old newsletter articles, some CD messages that that go into great depth, the depth that's needed to put the biblical truths out, to let you know from the Word the truths. And so we have that. If you're again, if you have a question or a concern or you're just not sure, our address, if you want to write and request that, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And we're also, of course, on the web at scripturesforamerica.org. So don't forget that. And these broadcasts are also archived at our network website, and that is SFAWBN. That's for Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, because that's what it is. SFAWBN.com. And these broadcasts are archived there. And you can look at our complete broadcasting schedule as well and see what was put out when. So, well, a few current events thought we'd start off with tonight. Don't know if you've heard. I didn't hear about it till today. But New Orleans flooding again. Now, I know I've got family down in Florida, and I know they've had some good bit of weather, but I did not know it was extending up and around the Gulf into Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, but they are, what a mess. Declared a state of emergency, the Louisiana governor did today, as the city's malfunctioning water pumping system and the threat of more rain presents a great risk of flooding for more neighborhoods. There's already been some flooding. I couldn't bring it to you tonight, but I watched a time-lapse video of, I think it was yesterday, of here's a neighborhood and you're looking out from this person's front porch and it's just a bright sunny day, and then it rains a little and it stops, and it rains a little and it stops, and then the water just, it rains and the water just comes up and it fills the road and it fills the road and then it fills the yards and it just creeps up. And thankfully, this person, you know, their house was built up a few steps. And you see the cars driving by, and the water's tire high, the top of the tire high in the road, just in a matter of not even hours, just maybe an hour. And it just comes right up, and what a mess. Well, then they must have got some pumps going, because then it went right back down. But, oh, what a mess it left in the yard and the roads, and just... you know, when you live in a place like New Orleans and the leaders that are there and the people that are on the, oh, they have their own little, you know, pumping district and flood control district and all of that, you would think that these people, that they would want to have people in these positions of authority, in these positions, really, more importantly, of responsibility, of making sure that the drains are cleaned out, but making sure that for this town that is situated below sea level, right on the coast, and it gets more monthly rainfall than we get in a year, you would think that they would have some responsible people in those positions to make sure that the pumps were working. And, you know, they have about 120, I think I read, about 121, something like that, pumps. And now you got to remember too, the pumps are electric, so they got to keep the turbines running to keep the to make sure they have electricity for these pumps to work. But reading through, and I printed a couple of the news articles. I think I'm gonna try to bring this up a little bit on Sunday morning on the review of the news. But what a mess! Katrina just 10 years ago, and I saw a note here that since Katrina, says here, the city's municipal pumping system is supposed to move water out of the low-lying city and is separate from the $14.5 billion spent in the wake of Hurricane Katrina to construct levees and flood walls and gates and pumps to block storm surge from tropical systems. So, see, that happened. The Army Corps of Engineers and the feds came in, and they've spent billions of dollars. But what has the city done? What has the city done? And from looking at it, they seems like the news reports that came out this week, oh, all the pumps are functioning properly. We're at 100%. No problems. We'll take care of all the water that comes. Well, half the pumps are down for scheduled maintenance. Here in the summer, in hurricane season, you schedule maintenance. And I just mentioned this. I'm about done with this, but what a joke. And I'm sure somehow this will be, you know, either Bush's fault or Trump's fault for not looking ahead to this. And I can tell you the mayor down there, I think he is just basically saying, well, you know, why you goofed this up, I don't know, but you're out of here and you're out of here, and let's get it fixed here in the next 48 hours. Excuse me. They have more rain in the forecast. And the pictures that I saw, vehicles flooded, homes flooded, and I don't mean one or two, but vehicles just out in the middle of the road, just left. People walking waist deep, chest deep, children out walking chest deep through these floodwaters. And you know, these floodwaters, folks, when you think about them, they ain't exactly clean as a pool, if you know what I mean. These floodwaters are filthy, and the people just have to be walking in them. Huh. Yeah, the guy from the pump centers there says, we have 121 pumps, and we're doing maintenance year-round. These aren't just hurricane response pumps. They have to be available year-round. Well, they aren't available. They're not working. They have no backup. They have no plan. And I'll leave it up to you and your imagination to just figure out who's running things down there in New Orleans. Texted with a brother today, and they're close, and said they were not flooded, praise the Lord, but a project they were working on. Here, it says, texted down and said, we're praying God's protection for you. And he said, well, thank you for the prayers. The project I was working on did get a foot of water in the home. How about that? Folks, this is real stuff when it hits. It is. And so, do you remember Katrina, the mess, the killings? Oh, the horror that happened 10 years ago. It hadn't got any better. And when I saw this today, I had to just kind of shake my head. So, but anyway, they've declared an emergency now. The mayor says, we are currently running on our last backup power source. If the power from Int Energy continues, and we expect that it will, we'll be able to handle any typical rainfall. Well, how about that? There's a politician for you. So if the power continues, so let's say you have a storm and the power goes down, well, then you're in trouble. Or a typical rainfall. Well, you know, they've been getting 3 and 4 inches an hour during some of these downpours. Folks, there are still some of our people down in New Orleans. I ask you to pray for them. Pray for the people that are working, the people that have to be in these floodwaters. Pray that they come through it safely. Oh, what a mess. What a mess. I've got some pictures for you for Sunday morning. We'll try to... Boy, here's one. Just cars just floated away. Here's 5 cars in the middle of the road. Maybe they're used to it down there. We're not used to that out here. We've sure been getting rain this week, putting the hay season off for at least a week or two. But I encourage you to pray for our brethren down there in New Orleans. And realize, folks, that's really... You know, this is just a little rain. This is not a hurricane. This is just a little rain that they're having down there. Typical for this time of year. It's not a hurricane rolling in like Katrina was. It's just summertime, what happens? Just a little extra rain, little power off, few pumps out. And don't think that couldn't happen in most of the metropolitan areas. I think we'll come back to this in a little bit here. Take a quick drink. Yep, more rain in the forecast for New Orleans. So, but pray for our people that are down there. And folks, take it to heart in the community that you're in that it doesn't take long. It would not take long. Well, had to check the newspaper today. Heard something on the radio. We might be at war. No, we've been in a spiritual war, but a physical war, didn't know. So it made me think of a couple Bible verses. I thought we'd read those before we get to our daily Bible reading. And folks, we have the phone lines open tonight, 745-5913 if you want to give me a call. Just sitting here and got the windows, well, one window a little bit open, but just a little sunshine. It's nice to see it. We've been kind of gloomy and gray, and we're not used to that. Maybe out there in Seattle or down in New Orleans you are, but we've usually got sunshine out here. That's one great thing about the southern part of Wyoming and northern Colorado is you get a lot of sunshine, and you kind of get used to that. And it's sure nice seeing it here this afternoon. Well, anyway, Psalms 140, and then we'll go to Matthew 24. Let's take a look real quick. Psalms 140, we're not quite there in the Bible reading plan yet, though. But let's take a look. And Psalms 140, verses 1 through 3 says, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of viper is under their lips." And boy, we've sure heard the words lately, in the last few weeks, the vile words for it sure seems like somebody's trying to stir up a war. Now, whether it's on in our country or in another country, we certainly are seeing this again. This country we've been, it's the Antichrist's holiday. This war that we've been in since what, 2001? I remember my brother deployed over in, I think, 1991, that we've been sending our troops overseas to the Middle East. Well, now it's got to be the Far East instead of the Middle East. Now it seems like it's North Korea. These people stirring up wars, they continually have to stir up wars. And we're seeing that. Matthew 24:6, another couple verses along these lines. "You will be hearing of wars," and that's what we're doing, right? We're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And we sure hear that. Got a text yesterday evening, and same thing. Said, yeah, you know, we have to, when we see these things, we have to take our thoughts captive, and we have to see them for what they are. They are wars and rumors of wars. And Matthew 24:6 goes on and says, "See that you are not frightened." See that you are not frightened. It says, "For those things must take place, but that is not the end." And folks, that's one of the reasons we encourage you to read your Bible. So when we hear this, or when we see this, that we know there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but that's not the end. "See that you're not frightened." And that made me think of our Bible reading plan this week. Psalms 91. We've read that, haven't we? We have. And we had it this week. It was in Tuesday's Bible reading plan. And Psalms 91 verse 5 says, "You will not be afraid." We have to remember that. Sometimes it's good just to read that and remember that it's you, believing, obedient Christian, that this Bible is written to and that these verses are for. You will not be afraid. And so when we have, as we see in Matthew 24 verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. In verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes." Whew, we've seen that. We had an earthquake a week ago on air, on the Hope is Alive program last week. Not this week, not last night, but the week before, right toward the end of the program, Pastor Cox, they had an earthquake there, knocked pictures off the wall. They're in Oklahoma City. That seems like he sure felt it, heard it. Famines and earthquakes. You hadn't heard much from Venezuela lately, have you? It's because they're dying down there. They're starving to death. They are rioting. It is chaos. Because there's famines. Over in the Sudan, famines. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people dying. No, they're not our people. But there's famines. There's famines right here. And there's earthquakes. And we see this word coming true. Praise the Lord. But he says, "See that you are not frightened." These are the words of Jesus. And in Psalms 91 verse 5, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction. And that word destruction means plague. Or of the destruction or the plague that lays waste at noon. And this, boy, the Psalms are encouraging, especially this 91st Psalm, but all of them here in this week's Bible reading plan, they should be, that should be a word of encouragement to you. To make you realize that, yeah, we hear about wars and rumors of wars, but we are not frightened. Now read all of Psalms 91 so you see who this applies to. And the terms, you might say. The terms. Because it applies to a he. I want to be one of those he's that it applies to. So you have to read the rest of it. Don't have time tonight. But read the rest of it to see to see what we have to do so that we will not be afraid. And obey Psalms 91. And obey the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that he tells us in Matthew 24:6. See that you are not frightened. See, that tells us, take your thoughts captive. He says, you're going to hear these things. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Verse 8 says, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. And so we need to read this word and see. Then, and if we will read and pray for discernment, we'll have that. We'll be able to see that to where we can see, you know, these wars and rumors of wars. I got a thing about the other day, and somebody mentioned wars, and I said, you know, I'm let them bluster. I'm not wanting to jump on the war bandwagon. I know that it is just birth pains, and you know, I've got teenagers, and young sons and young daughters. And don't think the enemy doesn't want to draft them into their wars and rumors of wars. And I know the remnant has sons and daughters. And I love my sons and daughters. And I don't want them to have to go off and fight some ungodly banker war. And that's about what they've been for the last 100 years. We carry a small booklet. I had a person outside of our church, outside of our ministry, mention it the other day. And it's just a real small booklet. It's a reprint of a speech given by a retired, I think, a U.S. Marine Corps general, major general, something like that, Smedley Butler. And it's called War is a Racket. And this is from 100 years ago. This is after World War I that this Marine Corps general saw it, and it has survived this long. Don't think he was the only one saying this and realizing this, that war is a racket, but at least his speech has survived. And we've got it. We'll be glad to send it to you. Won't charge you anything. We'd love a donation, a little help in covering postage and printing. But it's called War is a Racket. And if you're not familiar with what this Marine that loved the Lord said, and he was a Marine's Marine, well, but if you're interested in what he said, you write to us. We'll send it to you. It's called War is a Racket. And had a young man, young Christian man, mention it just last week. And sure perked my ears up and gave me hope. You know, it's encouraging when you see these little snippets and you hear these little nuggets from people that are Christian. See, God has his remnant all over. All over. And just another Bible verse along the lines here, Galatians 1:6. If you have your Bible, turn there, Galatians 1:6. And again, folks, phone lines are open. If anybody wants to call in, 307-745-5913. And let's see, yep, phone lines are open. But Galatians 1:6, and it says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, meaning Jesus, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And I say, well, how's that tie into these wars and rumors of wars? Don't desert Christ for a different gospel. And it goes on, verse 7, who is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you, who want to distort the gospel of Christ. It says, but even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, see, it's our responsibility, each and every one of us, to, when we hear something preached or taught or whatever, to at least somehow, to the depth, to the limit of our ability, to search it out, so that we aren't taken captive by, as it says, a different gospel. And you don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to be a licensed and big old plaque on the wall type of person to figure this out. But what you can do is you can open your Bible when you hear something or you read something or you're preached to about something, and you can see what's in the Bible. Well, is it in the Bible? Do we see it there? Versus that contrary or different gospel that so much is taught that's not in there. And it's not a real hard thing to do. Revelation 3, read a couple verses here in chapter 3, and it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And we've read this before and done some scriptural review of the news, some little scriptural insights on it in years past. But it is a warning to Christians here in Revelation 3. And, you know, the signs are there. As we said, we see the wars and rumors of wars. We know that in Matthew 24, a little bit later than where we read, heaven and earth will pass away, but Christ says his words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So there's a point that you can see if a different gospel is being preached. If someone says, well, on this day, this is when this is happening. Well, if it's that day and that hour, it says here, no one knows. Now, certainly there are signs of things approaching. Just as Christ said in Matthew 24, the wars and rumors of wars, it is and the famines and the earthquakes, it is the beginning of birth pangs. And we've been in that. So, but see, it's up to us to make sure we look and see, so we're not taken in by this, by a different gospel. The Father alone knows the day and the hour. And so what we can do is be ready. We can be ready. We have had several. We're up here in Laramie, Wyoming, and it's not a very large town, 30,000 people and maybe 10,000 students when school gets in. And we don't have a lot, very little crime, and we really just don't have a lot of deaths. Usually the deaths here are older people that have are in quite aged, and usually pass away of natural causes, or what we would say old age. But you know, recently we have had, I saw in the a news story, we had a child pass away here just in the last week. We've had had a fatality up on the mountain today. We had a truck driver rolled his truck, and it was a fatality accident on Tuesday. And then there was one more that was up on the north side of town. And that is quite odd. It's something that has come up. And I know people that are in bigger cities and larger metropolitan areas. People die. It is part of life. But it just has been bam, 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 bam. More of a common denominator here than we're used to seeing. And I didn't know the people that passed away. I prayed for their family. Prayed that they were his. All we can do is be ready. We see the birth pangs. We see the wars and rumors of wars. We see the famines and the earthquakes. And you know, we put out in this Volume 5 newsletter that we've got mailed out and emailed out. And folks, if you have any problems, if you maybe don't get a newsletter, whether it's in the mail or the email, and you should, and we have you on our list, don't hesitate to contact us. Over the past few months, we've had some mailing issues. We've had some stuff come back in the mail with a good address on it, and we've sent them back out. We've had some email issues as well, getting the newsletter out. But if you need it again, just call us. Contact us and we'll send it to you. But in our Volume 5 newsletter, we have an article on signs, because there are some signs that are all about us. Maybe we'll have a minute to touch base. I see the phone ringing. Let me see if we can get over there. Good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hi. You know, as far as like the area that you're in and the strange things happening, you know, I accidentally caught a video on YouTube a couple months back. Somebody shot this last year, or maybe the year before, I'm not certain, but it was of a street preacher, a couple street preachers in fact, standing there out in front of, I think it was the fair, it was not the fair, it was the showing of some supposedly quasi-Christian film, okay, and you had lines, big, huge lines going into this thing. And you know, these street preachers were out there, you know, railing against sin. They had their placards, and you know, it was the hellfire type preachers out there. And you can't believe how many people were leaving the lines, or people coming and going. They were just coming up and just viciously attacking these guys. How can you say these things? You know, and they were actually, some of these women were and young women, you know, like in their teens.
Right.
They were just actually physically attacking this guy because he had the nerve to speak against sin.
Yep.
And this just surprised me. Like, I could have said, well, geez, you know, this wouldn't have surprised me if this was New York City, you know, or Detroit or San Francisco, but the middle of your state. It's like, geez.
Yeah, it's people don't
even there.
People even so-called Christians, they don't understand. See, they have followed that different gospel. They have followed that. They follow a God, and he's a small G God, and then they call him Jesus, but they follow a God and a Jesus that's a figment of their imagination. That's this false God that, and it's a lowercase G and a lowercase J. I don't want to be misquoted here, but they follow. It's just this nothing but love, love, love. Now, we are to love. We're told we can have the most eloquent speech. We can have the faith to tell that mountain, move, mountain, into the sea, and there it goes. And if we don't do it in love, that it's nothing. But it's a true love. It's a love, the type of love that Jesus Christ has and that God has for his people, that he would come and die for us. But this different gospel that you're talking about, that these people follow, It is a figment. They do not realize, they will not follow a God that hates. And our God hates. Our God is jealous. That is one of his names. He is jealous for his people. And if he loves, as he said, Jacob, he's going to hate anything that comes against Jacob. And he does. He says, I hate Esau. I remember we had a man come to church one time, and he was just talked a good talk, and wanted to get together for a Bible study, and the pastor took me kind of just for muscle, you might say, just because you never know what you're walking into. And we met in town, and I remember the pastor talking to him, and the pastor would show him the verse that says Jacob in the New Testament, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And so the man would read it. He said, well, Jacob I love, but Esau, and that's as far as he'd go. And because, see, that's not his God. That's not the God that he worships. And I was looking also in the book, The Unseen War, pastor's book, The Unseen War, and we have that available. And he tells the story in there about when him and some men from the church were up hunting, And they went into a little Church of Christ, and the lesson was on lying. Well, you know, God hates lying, and God doesn't like you to lie, and ever, ever, ever. And pastor mentions about, well, what about the Hebrew midwives? Didn't they lie? Well, it doesn't say God condoned it. And anyway, his account of it, it goes on and on to see these people have in their mind this self-righteousness. And it's like, don't bother me with the truth. I want to believe what I believe. And they have set themselves up as God. They determine what's right or wrong. How many times have we talked to people and they say, well, I just don't see it that way. Well, I don't think that I think that's okay. Well, isn't that big of you that you've become God and determined right or wrong? And we've gotten so far away from the proper teaching and proper Bible instruction and proper Bible discernment and understanding that we're in the days that good is called evil and evil is called good, and we're told that we would be persecuted even unto death by those thinking they're doing God's will.
Well, I think they would have killed this guy if they could have got away with it. I mean, that's how violent.
Yeah, I believe
were.
It.
And the thing that seems to be triggering them the most was when he would speak against homosexuality. I mean, they just went.
Yeah, they do.
Yep. With that. So, with that in mind, let me ask you this. Would Jesus partake in an act of homosexuality with another man?
Would Jesus Christ?
Right. That's
no.
The question.
No.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
No.
Because he was when he walked the earth as a man, it says he was tempted in all ways, but he resisted that. He did not sin. And homosexuality, folks, is a sin. And if you practice it, in unrepentant, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, whatever that is to you.
To go a little further, in Corinthians 6:15.
I'm turning there. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? That one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid.
May it never be.
Know ye not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. See, what he's telling you here is whatever you're joining to your body, you are attempting to, you know, if you go through the rest of this, he's telling you that whatever you would be joining to your body, you're attempting, if you're the member of Christ, your body is the member of Christ, whatever you would be joining to your body or doing to your body, you're attempting to do that to the Holy Spirit and to Christ.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Why do you think it's an abomination? God would never do it. Christ
now,
never did it.
Now, you know what he's telling. I mean, if you know what he's telling you here, if you go through all this flee fornication, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. All right. So if you're the member, if your bodies are the member of Christ, anything that you're doing like that, you're attempting to do to Christ, to the Holy Spirit that is supposed to be residing in you. You know,
right.
And it's not just homosexuality. It would be, If you were to go out in any sin,
Christ
is going to be partaking.
You're right.
In
any sin, and no, he's not, and that's why
the Holy Spirit leaves.
That's right.
You would be driving the Holy Spirit out when you're doing that.
That's right. It's just the opposite. We are told to be holy, even as He is holy.
And it goes with the same thing. Do you think would anybody in their right mind think that the Holy Spirit or God is going to sit there and partake with you if you're down in that fifth of JD?
Nope.
Is Christ going to be getting drunk with you?
No. Well, and see, that's again
that the Holy Spirit is going to leave. Right. See, the Holy Spirit never overcomes your thoughts; it urges you.
Right.
But you can overcome the urgings of the Holy Spirit. But if you do so, the Holy Spirit, you know, and you're going to go and commit this abomination, the Holy Spirit's not going to be there. You're not going to force Christ or the Holy Spirit to partake in that sin.
No.
So it's going to leave. So now, you know, anybody that's going to stand there and tell you, oh, well, a homosexual can be a homosexual and still be a Christian. You know,
nope.
The same thing.
They
with,
cannot.
With,
they
with,
cannot.
With an adulterer or, you know,
no.
Whatever. You're still a Christian. No, you're not.
No. not at all.
You may think you are.
See, there again, there's that different gospel. See, the Bible is very clear in this. It is very clear. New Testament, you don't have to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. New Testament in this. And Revelation 22:11 says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and this time is coming. This time is fast approaching.
You go back a chapter into First Corinthians 3. Know ye not that you are the temple of God,
yes,
and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Yes.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?
Amen. Amen. And
another supportive.
Yeah, here 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And that is where it is. And it goes on and says, but we can understand it because we have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, you realize that he wouldn't be down in that fifth of JD, and he wouldn't be doing those other filthy things. Now, granted, we have our sinful nature that we have overcome in Christ. And he helps us to overcome that sinful nature. And then once we are Christians, yeah, it's not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there. And, you know, even Jesus himself, they asked him, well, Lord, are there just a few that are going to be saved? And he said, yeah, just a few. Narrow is the gate. You don't get the masses through the narrow gate. And it doesn't matter if the churches out there go to it. You know, the Church of Scotland has accepted it. The Lutheran Church here in the States has accepted it. That's fine. That's what you want to do. The Word of God has not changed. God has not changed. It is still an abomination to him. And if you're going to continue practicing that, it's practicing sin. It's lawlessness, which is what sin is. You can look at 1 John 3:4 for that. And you can claim it all you want now, but you won't make it into the kingdom. It is as simple as that. Whatever that kingdom is, you won't make it. You won't make it. Now you can repent. You can repent because it's a sin. You might say, people out there say, well, they were born that way. Well, people, that's right. People are born with a sinful nature. We are. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. But each and every one of us is born with a sinful nature. I've said this before, but my youngest daughter is 9 years old, and when she was born, we had a midwife and we had her at home, and it really was a good delivery, and so here all this is going on. So here's my daughter, oof, and I'm right there with the midwife, and she opens her eyes, and I'm the first thing she saw, and oh, it was just a great moment, the midwife's checking her out, and. The midwife says, she's perfect except for that one thing. What? What? You know, you got 4 fingers or 9 toes or what is it, you know? 4 ears? I mean, what?
Original sin.
Yeah. And she said she's perfect except she's born into sin. And,
that's what baptism is for.
Absolutely.
Baptism is called the bath of regeneration.
So when these people that don't understand the gospel, that don't understand it, to say they were born that way, you know, we can say, well, yeah, they were. They might have been. But it's sin. That doesn't mean that they might have been, but it's sin. It's something to overcome. It is something to overcome. If they were born a murderer, by God, we're not to keep them in our society if they just can't help it but kill people. You know, we kind of deal with that in a different way. You know, or okay. If they're a pervert, oh, well, I just can't help it. I was born this way. Well, by God, that's right. That doesn't excuse it. Exactly. We were all born into sin and with a sinful nature.
And that is the whole message of
that's the redemption story.
Going on with your salvation.
Absolutely.
By baptism, you get it's called the bath of regeneration.
Yes, you have those sins washed away. If we will share,
the bath of regeneration is to do away with what you were generated at, what you were born into.
Hence,
from your predecessor.
Yeah, and here comes the term born again. Not just because you raise your hand. Not because you raise your hand when you're 12 years old.
Born again. It's not
absolutely.
Just, a lot of people use that. the expression "born again." Well, like a meaningless thing. Like as soon as I believe, and I, you know, I'm a little bit better, or this or that, or whatever, or I'm exuberant in Christ or something. Well, I'm born again.
No,
well, you're not born again if you're still
right.
You know,
see there again,
still been right. Practicing sin.
That's right. There again, it comes back to that different gospel. That we read in Galatians 1. I'm amazed you're so quickly deserting Christ, who called you by the grace of Christ, for a different gospel. And that practicing homosexual, thinking he's a Christian, is a different gospel. That gospel that you think Jesus is coming back as a long-haired, hippie, dope-smoking, sandal-wearing, love, peace, brother, world peace. All the world needs is love. If that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible that is coming back to bring recompense and to bring judgment and to ride, he's riding a white horse with a flaming sword to... Well, let's read it. It's right over here in Revelation, because we are almost there.
Gentle as a lamb.
No, he's already done that. He's already come for sin. He's already come to buy the field, to save his treasure.
He came to live through his existence and to overcome the sin.
That's right.
That when he died, that he would have been sinless, so that the spirit that would come out of him would be a spirit that you can receive.
Amen.
Amen. To help you overcome the sin.
Amen.
That's what he's given.
The
you.
Lamp.
And if you don't partake in that.
That's right.
Or you reject it, or you just.
Then you have no place in it. Then you have no place in it. That's right.
The next time he comes back, you know, it's not going to be that.
No. But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons. And guess what homosexuality is, folks? It's immoral. And sorcerers and idolaters and liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you don't like that, folks, there in Revelation 21, just mark it out. But it's still there.
How many people are out there right now?
But it's still there.
They're just raising their head proud that they're committing, that they're practicing sorcery against Trump.
Yeah, well, they can. No. It says right here in verse in chapter 20.
Actors and actresses, I hear them every day. I've been.
And see that lets us.
Against Trump, you know?
That's right. That lets us know those signs are here. We are in the end time.
Oh, that's not real. Oh, yes, yeah, real. These people are very serious about what they're doing.
Oh, it is. But it's a time of harvest, because the tares are raising up, proud and haughty. But he says at the end of the book, Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and this is Jesus Christ here, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. And here a little bit earlier in 27, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Folks, that's the gospel. I don't know what you're hearing on Sunday, folks, but this is the gospel. This is out of the Word. If you don't believe it, turn to it. Revelation 22. You don't have a Bible, contact us. I'll get you one. It's Revelation 22. This is Jesus Christ coming to judge. He's already came to forgive sin. He's coming, and he is coming. The signs are all around us. We've got an eclipse coming up. We've got an alignment in the stars coming up. Oh my gosh, something we haven't, that none of us have seen before. Hasn't been around for thousands of years. Folks, the books are going to be opened, and judgment is coming. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. You better have a deed done. And that is belief for sure. But you ever better have another deed done, and that's called repentance. And then you better have another deed done, and it's called baptism. Just like our brother said, water, immersion, regeneration, absolutely baptism. That is when you are born again. That is when you contact the blood of Christ. That is when you share in his death, so that you can share in the glory of his resurrection. It's what the gospel of Jesus Christ says right out of the Bible. Don't know what you're hearing again on Sunday, but if he's preaching a different gospel, we said, don't desert Christ who called you for a different gospel. If that you hear a gospel contrary to what you see in the Word, well, you can either choose what that silver-tongued devil might be telling you from behind the pulpit. And oh, he might sound so smooth, and he might make you feel so good and just warm your heart. And oh, you love him, and oh, it's just so great. But as our pastor taught, you're going to hate him on Judgment Day if he ain't preaching from the Bible, and they're not. Hey, brother, thanks for the call. We are out of time tonight. Have a great evening, brother. And folks, we are out of time. Thanks for tuning in here to 7x70 on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Hey, join us Saturday morning for coffee, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. Coffee with the Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here, good Lord willing, and we don't get that New Orleans flood out here. But we'll sure plan on being here, so we invite you. And plan now on joining us for church Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. We'll hopefully have a review of the news. I hope to have some of these pictures of this New Orleans flood here for you to share with you then. And then join us. We'll have a Holy Spirit message by our pastor. And John's got a continuing series on these courts of heaven, I hope. I'm getting good notes. And, hey, we're working on some of that for the next newsletter, Volume 6. So pray for us here, folks. We pray for you. We pray for all that we know and all of the remnant, especially those that support us. And know that we do pray for you, and we ask for your prayers as well. Thanks for joining us. And hey, talk to you Saturday morning. We'll be right back.